The question is, what is your life? Maybe you have a lot of different ways to answer that. When I started, I'm actually borrowing from James. You probably know that from the reading just a minute ago. He says, what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a short time, and then it vanishes away, which, depending on how you look at that, that sounds kind of negative. You're just here for a little time, and then poof, you're gone. That's why eternal life is such a great concept to have. We're gone from this life into one that's much, much better. There was a TV show when I was a very young boy called What Is Your Life? How many people remember that? You're all old people. We remember this show because it would start off and the host of the show would be sitting there talking to somebody. And then they would say, this is your life. And they would bring in all these people. And somebody behind the curtain would say, oh, Johnny, I remember you when you were in my third grade class. I remember you from when you went fishing in the pond, or I remember you, and they bring in all these obscure people who Johnny probably had no idea who was anymore, but they would talk about this is your life. Teachers and important people, no doubt. But you see, I don't want to come from the standpoint of this is your life. I want to come from what is your life, and what are we going to do with the time we've got left? I don't know how long that's going to be. If it's 100 years from now, then let's praise God and bless this world in which He's placed us. If it's 2 days from now, let us live in a way that heaven can be our home forever. And so I want you to look with me at this concept of what is your life and look specifically at verse 14 in our text in James chapter 4. Where again, the question is asked, for what is your life, even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? It's really a short time no matter how we look at it. What's important in your life? Perhaps family is. I know family is important to me. I've enjoyed the time I've spent with my family over the last week. Last Sunday morning, I was able to worship with my brothers and sisters and have lunch with my brothers and sisters and mother and my daughter, and one of her daughters was there, and it was a big family reunion. And I looked at my mom. My mom turns 86 next week, and she was just smiling. And she'd say, oh, my family. We're not a soap opera, but she would just say, look at all my family. All my children. This is the best Christmas I could ever have. Just because we're there. We could have saved money if we'd just taken this woman out to eat for Christmas. Because it doesn't matter what we gave her, what she wants is to know that we love her and that we care about each other and we're a part of her life. So as her life gets shorter and shorter, no doubt, what we do with our life is more important. A poet by the name of Robert Smith said, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one wealth is sad indeed, to lose one health is more. To lose one soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Today only is our own, so live, love, and toil with will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may soon be still. What I want us to do is take our hour, our time, the remainder of our hour, and think about the things that we're doing with our life and what's important with our life and how we can serve God and how we can bless our families and how we can make a difference in this world in which He has placed us. Let me suggest, and it's been made painfully aware to us in the last month, we've gone to the cemetery 3 times in this last month of December with people we love. People who sit in this very auditorium that we've had to say goodbye to. Folks, life is too short to take for granted. You need to make the most of every day. I don't know what your plans are. I don't know what your hopes are, but I want to go to heaven. As for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. I don't know if ball games are important or if PTA plays are important or what it is that you think is so important. But I want you to know life is short enough that you have to decide what is important and not just what fills our life, but what makes a difference, what's going to last forever, because life is too short. I know 3 times I've said goodbye to people I love this month, and I've stood by the open grave, and so have you. The Bible tells us that life is short at best. We don't have any guarantee or any promise that we're going to be here 100 tomorrows. All we have promises right now, and we need to be careful for what we do. Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, man is born of woman and is of few days and full of trouble. You know, there's a lot of times that verse makes a lot of sense to me. Have you ever had any trouble in your life? It seems like every time you turn around, it's just something bearing on you, something. We've got to make the most of life. I know we make mistakes. I know we go the wrong way. I know that we waste time. We do all kinds of things. But life is short, and there's problems out here, so we need to make use of the time we're given. Genesis 47 and verse 9, Jacob says to Pharaoh, talking about life, he said, "Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life." We have to change the formula from the evil to the good, from the broken to the blessed. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, David is talking, going to talk to his good friend Jonathan, because he knows the king seeks his life. And he says, "Truly as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, there's but a step between me and death." So life is too short to take it for granted. We need to live purposefully. We need to live intentionally. We need to live with a plan and plan to live. In John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, this reading says, when Jesus is talking, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no man works." There's a time coming when this life is over. And when you look back, what have you accomplished? I'd like you just to take a minute. It's, you know, the new year and the old year, and we make resolutions and we break resolutions and we do all those kind of things. But as you take stock of your life to this point, how many things did you intend to do that you've never gotten around to doing? How many things did you plan to do last year that haven't happened this year yet? When it comes to the spiritual and the eternal, what was it you were hoping for more? Were you hoping for more spirituality in your life, more time with Jesus, more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time in fellowship with God's people, to be closer with those who love the Lord and are of like-minded faith? There's a time coming when man can work no more, when it's all over. What matters is what we do with the time that we've had. In fact, Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days of evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That makes a lot of time, doesn't it? Redeem the time. Understand what God's will is for your life. Let me tell you one thing. It's not God's will that you waste your life because He gave it to you in the first place to be used. I think about the parable of the talent. And that really is reflective upon our life. And there was one man whose talent hid and buried it in the ground. Jesus said, "You foolish servant, you wicked servant, you lazy servant." He said, "But I hid it where I wouldn't lose it." He said, "That's not good enough. I gave it to you to use. I gave you a life to use. God has a will for your life, and it's a will to bless you and to prosper you, and a will that for us to make a difference in this world." Life is simply too short not to take advantage of it. But you know, there's something else I think about life. Life is too short to live with an ugly spirit. It just is. Some people go around with their lip poked out all their life. There are bad things that happen to good people. There are mistakes that we make that we have to pay for. It rains on the just and the unjust. We can go down a long list, and you can decide to be bitter or better. And that's what we want to talk about. Life is just simply too short to live with bitterness or a bad spirit, an ugly spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering made a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." There are some things we need to put away. Don't walk around being bitter and trying to settle all the scores. God's a great bookkeeper. Let Him settle the score. There are people who did things that are bad to you. If you spend all your time to try to catch up with them, you'll waste your life in nothing but anger, hate, and bitterness. It's a time to move on, to move forward. You can be mad and it'll do more damage to your health than anything else. You can carry around hatred in your heart and it'll break your heart. He said there are some things that need to be put away. This evil speaking, this constant complaining needs to be done away with and fill it up with. I like the passage where it says, just be kind. Be tenderhearted and forgive one another. One of the great truths of life came to me some time ago, and I know that I've said it before and I'll say it again. I need to give as much forgiveness as I need to get. You see, because I'm not perfect. And I have a strong suspicion none of you are either. And I need people to forgive me, but I, in the same token, need to forgive them when somebody's wronged me. Somebody says, well, what if they don't ask? I haven't got time to carry around bitterness waiting for them to get around to what I need to do. I am not going to lose my soul because you didn't come apologize to me. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed in Him. I'm going forward with Jesus, aren't you? You can nod your head there. That's a good place to agree. There's some things that we need to understand, and we got to get away with this bitterness. We can't have that ugly spirit. We don't want to be that little child with that ugly look on his face. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's talking about you. That's talking about me. That's not talking about waiting for somebody else to get around to whatever. He said, if it's possible for you to bring peace, bring peace. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the ways that I have a lot of peace is not putting myself where there's a lot of conflict. If I don't want to have to fight sin, I stay away from it. It's a pretty simple concept. As much as it's possible on me, that doesn't just mean I'm the one that comes and says I'm sorry every time. It means I'm not going to go some places sometimes. I'm not going to do some things sometimes. As much as it's possible, I'm going to live in a peaceful way. That's why I like coming to church instead of going to other places. It's hard to get in trouble in church. I did before, but I mean, that was when I was young. Romans 14 and 19 says, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. The concept of pursuing is chasing after. I want to chase after what makes for peace. If that means going the extra mile, if that means being nice, if that means helping somebody else, if that means lifting somebody's load, then I want to do that. Because I want to live in a peaceful world, don't you? I want the peace that passes understanding, which only comes through Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. He was in prison at the time. In chapter 4, starting in the first verse, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's good. Trying to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the kind of spirit I want to have. That's the kind of people I want to be around. A people that are about peace instead of hardness. But there's one other thing that concerns me. You see, I don't think people are always taking life seriously. Life is too short to gamble with your soul. You know who wins at gambling? The casino owners. You know why states are passing lotteries? Because more people lose than win. Because states make the money off of it. Gambling is not a good way to live your life, especially when it comes to your soul salvation. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 20. Now remember, Peter's writing by the Holy Spirit of God. He says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter wind is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having to known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallowing in the mire. There's a song we used to sing, singing at camp, different places. I've been redeemed. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. We sing a lot of songs about the redemption process and being made new. And being free and born again and all of those things that we have. But you know, there are a lot of people who started the path. There are people here today who started on the path and were faithful and loved the Lord and gave their life to the Lord and wanted to follow after Him with all that they've got. And something happened in life and they got off the path and they really haven't rededicated their lives to Him. And life is too short not to be back home in the family of God. It's not good enough to hope I'm okay. I'm okay when I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm okay if I've messed up when I come back home and repent and pray for the very thought that He might be forgiven me. He's talking to Christians here, and he gives the statement that there's some people who, once they've escaped sin, go back and it's like a dog eating its vomit. I know that's not a very pleasant thought before lunch, but it is the Bible thought. That's how disgusting it is to all of heaven when once we've been saved, we go back into Satan. Life is so short. Matthew 7 verse 26, Jesus is talking. He said, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell. And great was its fall. There's some of you who've been listening to the Word of God most, if not all, of your life, who've never become a Christian. who've never taken that step, believing based upon the Word of God, repenting, changing your way of life to live for Him and not against Him, confessing His name publicly that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, never having been baptized into the blood of Christ, into the water, to have the watery grave, being resurrected in the likeness of the resurrection of Christ and being added to the family of God. There are some people who haven't done that. Jesus said, if you don't do what I've said, it's like the man whose house falls in the end and it doesn't stand the storms of life. He goes on in Ephesians chapter 5 and he says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Make your life different to where you bless the world instead of burden the world. Make your life different where you're a light in a dark place. Be the person that brings hope and not despair. Be the one who can share the good news that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You don't have to know a lot of theology, but that's pretty good theology right there. Jesus loves me and He died for me where I could go to heaven. And I give my life to Him and I want to live for Him. Life is too short not to be prepared for eternity. Someone says, oh, I'm still young. The youngest funeral I ever preached was for a baby one day old. Now I've preached funerals for teenagers, people in their 20s. Pick a decade, I've been to the grave with them. And so have many of you. Life is too short if I live to be 100 to live it without Christ. Because you see, without Christ, I don't have the hope of heaven. Life is too short for me to walk back into the way of the world after I found Jesus and not come home. I'm not promised more than today. Tomorrow may never come. And so I want to encourage you this morning. A new year is just a mark on a calendar, but a new life is the beginning of eternity with Christ. If you've never been born again of the water and the Spirit, why not this morning? Everything's prepared. We can assist you in your baptism this morning. You can walk out of here redeemed. If you've not been faithful to Christ and you've been out in the world or you've left Him, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?